Of the many things that I do in life, I'm also an aged care chaplain. So that is where I do my kind of chaplaincy, and it's sort of where I started, and that's where I still am. So in the local rest home here, with about 60 people, I offer pastoral care to them. So I love chaplaincy ministry. It's one of the most rewarding and at times can be challenging areas of my ministry life. I love just being there with people. I love being able to share my faith with them, and on the occasions where I get to present the gospel to them, and they respond to the gospel, for me that's the icing on the cake. And, you know, it just really is so exciting when that happens. But at the heart of what I do, and I guess of what we all do as chaplains, I suppose, is Jesus Christ, who gave his life, came down into my world and yours. But he's so personal, isn't he? You know, he came into my world and he brought his hope, his peace, and his love that changed my life forever. And I can honestly say that I met Jesus in his people. And that is one of the things I really love about chaplaincy, that we are his people. And as we go out, I guess we hope that people will meet Jesus in us. And that's the wonderful thing about how God works in this world, that he uses us, you know, simple us, to reach out and touch people's lives. You know, that's chaplaincy ministry. You know, it's all about Jesus, it's all about God's love for his world. And it's his love and his joy in his creation, especially his children. For God so loved the world, says so much about who our God is and what each of us means to him. And because chaplaincy is all about demonstrating God's love, all right, oh, there we go. Yes, even for crazy people like that. That describes my family. So we have twins who are very chilled and laid back. And we have Zachary and Olivia who are very excitable. And Amanda as well. Yeah, and I know. It's good to have fun. Yes, they're a great bunch. God has really blessed me. And one of the many things I'm grateful to him for. Yeah. And it's about people. Oh, he's left, he's gone. Okay, that's right. Okay. And because, you know, chaplaincy is really about demonstrating God's love for our world, you know, we believe that for Chaplaincy New Zealand, our mission in life is to raise up everyday chaplaincy ministries and to be prepared for times of extraordinary chaplaincy opportunity. I'm not sure if we stole that from Chaplaincy Australia when they and put it into us, but we believe it's something worth pursuing in this nation. We recognize that chaplaincy is about building the kingdom of God. You know, we're not building some church empire or anything like that. We're just building God's kingdom. That's the bottom line. We do it in our local community by genuinely caring for the individuals that we come across. And we have two distinct goals in Chaplaincy New Zealand. And our first goal is to promote chaplaincy so that more people will be empowered to go into the world, to come alongside people in their ordinary, everyday walk through life, to be empowered, encouraged, and blessed by the presence of a chaplain in their life. Because we are Christ's ambassadors in the workplace, hospital, prison, school, communities, wherever people gather together. And we need more ambassadors in the church. And I see potential for so many new ministries in chaplaincy. Rural chaplaincy, one awesome key area, and we have one beginning rural chaplain here amongst us, which is fantastic. You'll get to meet her. But there's so many opportunities, and the sky's the limit. And so we want to really encourage more people going into more places. Our second distinct goal would be to be there in times of crisis. In those moments where critical incidents affect individuals, organizations, regions, and nations. You know, disaster ministry often is what gets highlighted. But as chaplains, we are, you know, that doesn't happen every day. Our main thing could be said to be the everyday ministry. But we're also there for when it really matters. So We believe both are integral expressions of chaplaincy ministry that we would like to see established. Because when we answer the call to chaplaincy, we're actually entering into answering God's call through our community. You know, we're going to be there with people, we're going to walk with them in their time of crisis and when the storms of life come in. And we don't just do disasters, like I said, we do everyday life. And I like the words of the Reverend Dr. Stephen Robinson in his book, Ministry in Disaster Settings. And he says, in Jesus Christ, God chose to enter a traumatized world. Christ came to bring blessing, healing, and restoration to all who suffer as part of a broken world. And even as Jesus ministered in this way, he shared our trauma, died our death, and even beyond his resurrection and ascension can be recognized as the Lamb who was slain. Since his earthly ministry, Christ has called many of his followers to come beside others in a way that exposes them to traumatic circumstances. They, like Jesus, bear the scars, both physical and emotional, of these encounters with pain and suffering. And Christ's hope would be that these people do not gather these scars for no purpose or gather them alone. And I really believe that we need each other. There's a real strength in togetherness. And there's nothing like being there actually physically with people. What we engage in with is real life. And it requires us to have a real faith and a belief in why we're there. So I guess what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is why. Why chaplaincy? Why do we do what we do? And more times than not, we are volunteers who give up our time, our resources, we give of ourselves to be there with others in their moment of need. And it's not always appreciated. You know, there's moments you come across people who don't always appreciate what you're trying to offer them. We're not always understood. Even within the church, people don't understand what we do as chaplains. So why chaplaincy? And sometimes we may ask ourselves, does what I do matter? Do I make a difference? Turning up, you know, day after day, week after week. And I guess tied to that question is, am I valuable? Do I matter? What if I wasn't there? Would it matter? Wouldn't people notice it? And to answer that, I guess, first basic thing is that you are more than what you do. Before anything else, we are children of the Most High God, and there's nothing ever on earth that we could ever do to be more valuable to Him than to be who you are right now. But we can honor Him with what we do, with what He's given us. You know, if we, by going there, we can honor our God by serving Him in this way. Because in our heart, I know, I think we all declare that, you know, God, I just want to serve you with all I am. You gave your all for me. Here I am. Send me wherever you want. And that is chaplaincy ministry. And I really believe it is so close, so very close to God's heart. Because when Jesus said, go into the entire world and preach the gospel to all creation, that is what we do, isn't it? We go into the world and we enter into people's lives. We enter into their workplaces, their schools, their place of imprisonment, their community. And we enter into their lives by going into their environment, hearing their story. And we do this for a reason. And our purpose for being there is to help them understand the love that God has for them. And we seldom get to preach, do we? And we do get to demonstrate, though. We don't always get the chance to share the gospel, but we can create space for the Spirit of God to work. It is the wonderful power of presence ministry. It's earning the right. Now, you know, the verse I've taken for the theme is from the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah, we read about the return of the exile of the Israelites coming back from Babylon into Israel. And they return and rebuild the city and the temple of Jerusalem. And it's just part of their journey of restoration for them as a chosen people, reestablishing their identity as children of God. And we read about all the challenges they faced. in their return to life among the ruins. And, you know, as their life was pieced back together and the new normal was found for them, they turned their attention to worship. And we read in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, that all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. And, I don't know, amazing things happen when people come together as one, where there is unity and not division. But if we read on in verse 8, that they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law." Now there is such a thing as godly sorrow that brings about a repentance and a change in our life. And it's the work of the Spirit, isn't it, as he brings conviction into our hearts. And, you know, when Ezra opened the book of the law to them, it wasn't to hit them over the head with it and to show them what they weren't. It was actually their history that he read out to them. It was where they'd come from. It was who they were as a people that they were presented with. And one of the great things I think that we do as chaplains is we affirm people's humanity, their identity. We give them a voice. We validate who they really are and that they really matter. We can remind people that they aren't their diagnosis. They're more than the disease. They're more than just a number in the system. But they're a worthwhile human being that really matters. And I imagine in that moment for the Israelites, as they all stood there and they heard about their history, as they realized all that had been lost when their parents went into exile all those years ago, that, you know, it suddenly really hit home what had been missing. Everything that they weren't doing, their relationship with God, everything that had been missing there, suddenly sort of crashed down on them like a wave of grief. And, you know, I'm an aged care chaplain. I encounter people who are grieving. I also experience grief myself. And, you know, here's Nehemiah, you know, he goes and says, telling people not to mourn. Like, don't worry, be happy. Said any chaplain ever. No. We don't say that. Does anyone say that? No. No. Good. Okay. So this is not what we're going to do, is this? No. No. So how can you say that? Don't worry, be happy. It's a holy day. Yeah, just put on your happy face and it's going to be good. You know, there may be some of us today who feel like that. You know, our theme is joy, but we've come in and we're in the middle of grief or hardship and we're like, well, you know, how can I just put on a happy face? And, you know, when you look at holiness, to be holy is to be set apart for God's purpose. And that the purpose of this day, when they read out the law, was to be a celebration. And all too often we can forget to celebrate the good things in life. You know, it's funny how the negative really grabs our attention. You could have 90% of awesome stuff happening in your life, and then 10% of negativity will take, is it 80-20 rule? It'll take 80% of our attention. It'll keep us awake at night, and it'll stress us out. And often the negative will overwhelm us and dominate our thoughts. But we're chaplains. We celebrate life and goodness wherever we find it. And my hope, I guess, is that we will all find the next day and a half a time of celebration. That we set it, this time, and ourselves apart for God's purpose. And we will see God's goodness in it. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10 and 11, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites calmed all the people down, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." I really love that verse, you know. It is a source of strength, isn't it? Often taken out of context, but it does reinforce the need for us to live for the audience of one, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because there will be people who don't agree with us, people who openly and sometimes aggressively disagree with our faith and our role and who we are. But consider him who faced opposition, that we too will not grow weary of doing good. Because we serve God, God the Creator and Redeemer of all things. The everlasting God who loves us with such a depth and width and height and length that nothing could ever separate us from that love. And that is what really defines us, isn't it? The love of God. And all the disappointments and opposition and trials we face, you know, that can't shake us when we have the love of God as our foundation. And so we can overcome the disappointment as we go in day after day, week after week, month after month, because we know that what we do is so very close to God's heart. Because that is what the joy of the Lord is all about, isn't it? In verse 12, we read that all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because now they understood the words that had been made known to them. And this desire to be understood is in all of us, to be heard, to be listened to. But something amazing happened as the Levites went about explaining why they should celebrate. Suddenly the people understood something about their God. That God's love for them was one reason they should celebrate. His joy, God's joy at seeing his people come back home, was the same joy that Jesus paints that wonderful picture of in the prodigal son. The father who was out there waiting, arms open wide. A God who hasn't turned his back on us. And to be able to help people understand that is one of the things I love most about being a chaplain. That God is waiting for them. Just waiting for them. And it's such an incredible thing to be in a partnership with God and doing this ministry. A couple of weeks ago in the rest home where I minister, there was a really wonderful lady. And she was always full of life and bright and energetic. And every walk past and I'd say hello. And nothing really deep and meaningful with her. It was just nice courtesies and it didn't really progress much past that. But she was lovely. And a few weeks ago, she'd never come to the church service that we'd run, but for some reason she just came along to our church service. And it was one of those weeks where I preached the gospel, which is a good thing to do when you're preaching. And, you know, you get all sorts of responses in a rest home when you're preaching. Not everyone's always really engaged, but you get used to that. It's just, anyway. But this lovely lady, she was there, and as I was preaching, she was on the edge of her seat as I talked about Jesus Christ and the love that he has for us and the forgiveness and hope that he has to offer. And you could just, you know, when God's working in someone's life, you just see she was getting it, maybe for the first time in her life. And at the end, when we prayed for forgiveness and accepting Christ, you know, all of us praying it, she was praying it out loud with all the rest of us. And I thought, wow, she's full of life. It's going to be great. But then I went in on Wednesday, and as what happens in a rest home, you walk down and there's names on the doors. And you walk past her door and her name wasn't there anymore. Which means, you know, I've either moved on or they've moved on, and she's moved on. But that moment is amazing when, you know, you wonder. I went home after that and I just thought to myself, what if I hadn't been there? You know, how many people throughout this nation are touched by God because chaplains are part of their community? And we have this wonderful window of opportunity where chaplaincy is, we are accepted in so many places right now. And we have a wonderful opportunity that I think we really need to see more people trained so they can be sent. And I guess that's one of our roles as an organization. We just really want to promote chaplaincy as a ministry and support chaplains like yourselves who are out there doing it. And that is part of what we want to do here and now in this conference. And we know, regardless of your chaplaincy context, we have no bias. We just want chaplaincy to grow. And so we want to see high standards maintained as well, so that the care that is delivered, it will be the best demonstration of God's love that we could possibly give. But, you know, we can have all the training in the world, but if we don't have the love of God, it will mean nothing. So we need to have it all. We need to be accountable. We need to be encouraged on a regular basis. We need to be connected. And we are Christ's ambassadors, representatives of his heavenly kingdom here on earth. And I believe that by working together, we can be more effective for our God and his kingdom. You know, salvation comes to each of us, doesn't it? Normally, through a person. And there's this wonderful scripture in Romans 10 I just want to finish with. And it describes what I believe chaplaincy begins. In verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For this is what your heart, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one who they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." That's your feet. Just turn to the person next to you and just tell them what beautiful feet they have. Anyone's like, yeah. Nice shoes, Ray. I like your shoes. Yeah. You're all a vital part of God's plan, his purpose. And as chaplains in New Zealand, we just see it as our role to help you as chaplains find strength and joy in what you do on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, we still aim to build a network throughout New Zealand through which we can resource everyone. We want to help build valuable relationships with all the chaplaincy ministries so we don't realize that we work together as a massive team. We want to see resources shared and relationships established. And I know a lot of people, we already have this, which is great, but you know, if we can help connect you guys some more, then let us know. I know in many ways a lot of what we're doing is still just beginning. And there is a journey ahead, but I think it's one that we can all make together. And it's quite an exciting journey. It's an exciting time for chaplaincy in New Zealand. In the future, we'd really love to be able to have affordable, professional supervision available to all our members. Access to professional counselling following a critical incident. These are all things that we'd, you know, they take a while to train people up like this, but we'd love to see that happen. You know, our regional group of chaplains meeting is, you know, with all the different skills and different chaplaincies. It's a great way, I think, that we can respond to a community crisis. We have teams of people already established working together. And, you know, as we raise the profile of chaplaincy in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we can be confident that it's got a good foundation, that with a history that we can be really proud of. And it's our vision, and hopefully we'll continue to see this, that we see well-resourced and supported chaplains on a pathway to growth. Because we really believe that the best advertisement, best promotion of chaplaincy in New Zealand is you, the chaplain, being the best you can be. Because that is what gets people's attention. So during the next day and a half, I just really encourage you to get to know people, people that you came with, people you haven't met for a long time. It's a bit of a reunion, isn't it? So it's kind of fun. But also branch out a little, get to know people you didn't know before you came. Because this conference is for you. We want you to be blessed and encouraged in what you do. So just, I guess it would just be good if we just stand up. I'd like to pray. And then we'll have morning tea. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we just want to thank you. You're a great God, and we just thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing through chaplaincy ministry in this nation. Thank you, Lord, for our wonderful guest speakers, Lord, that have come from far afield, Lord, and come to share all that they have experienced, their wonderful knowledge, Lord, with us. We pray your anointing on them, Lord, and your blessing on them as they share with us. And Lord, for everyone here, Lord, we just totally pray that your joy would be a source of strength for us in the season ahead. That the mountains we face would be as level ground as we're just so overcome with your passion and with that fire that is inside of each of us, of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those of us who have come in weary, Lord, that your yoke would be easy and your burden would be light upon us. Lord, we give you the glory, Lord, that this ministry is so close to your heart, that you would bless it and it would prosper in this nation. So, Lord, we commit this time and ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.